Hey, Galatians chapter 6, and starting around verse 5. Again, the Apostle Paul is setting the mind of the saints at ease here, okay, as he's helping them make distinction between the Ishmael Christians and the Isaac Christians, okay, as we see in the beginning of his letter here, okay, in chapter 1. Okay, the troublers of the faith of the saints were those which were embracing the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Okay, they were trying to build confidence with the law, with the moral code. Okay, because the imagination does not bring equity in the scales of the moral code. Okay, the moral code itself tries to draw on other resources to try to bring equity on that scale. Okay, but of course, faith in Christ brings equity on the scale of our faith. Okay, our faith in Him, okay, it brings that equity, that peace of God. Okay, because the peace of God rules in the hearts, okay, those who are in covenant with Him. So the Apostle Paul is making distinction between the gospel of man and the gospel of Christ. Okay, the gospel of man is those things which address the issues, relationships and the affairs, okay, of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, whereas the gospel of Jesus Christ addresses our faith, okay, and how we can walk and please God as we keep His commandments. And the commandment is the order of activity by which our faith must be expressed by in order to be accepted of Him. If there's to be propitiation for sins, then we must keep His commandments. Okay, and when we walk into the presence of His court with a heart full of faith, okay, then He is our advocate. Okay, because He's teaching us, okay, by keeping His commandments with faith and patience, He's teaching us as concerning the proper behavior in the courts of the Lord. Okay, proper behavior, proper protocol, proper policy. Okay, so Paul, finishing up his letter here, okay, is addressing the Galatian saints, okay, concerning the conflicts that existed, okay, and the breakdown of communication, okay, and the restoring of the confidence, okay, of how to walk in the Spirit. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in chapter 5, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Okay, all the Apostle Paul is saying is here, if we live in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, okay, then we have to walk according to the rules of that kingdom. That's in the priesthood of our faith, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we say after the order of Melchizedek, the word order right there has to do with the sequence of the Spirit. Okay, we're walking with the Spirit, okay, not with a letter, for as the scriptures say, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Galatians were trying to improve on their spiritual life by the law of Moses. The reason why they began to stretch in that direction is because of a poor faith life. Okay, where the faith life is poor in an individual, then the law begins to supersede, to replace it. Right? They try to make, repair. They try to bring repair to the scales of the moral code by that law. Okay, by keeping the Sabbath day or by tithing. Okay, or by baptisms, or by communions, or by circumcisions. Okay, we know that circumcision was given to Abraham, okay, but that the physical circumcision, okay, was removed, okay, when Christ came to provide us another circumcision, a circumcision of the heart. Okay, just like tithing. Tithing began with Abraham, okay, but that the physical tithing was removed and it was replaced concerning your spiritual sacrifices, as the Apostle Peter brings out. And the Apostle Paul also affirms those things, okay, that we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Okay, and these things were understood, even those of other covenants, okay, that we offer unto God as spiritual sacrifices, okay, which has to do with the sacrifices of our faith. Reciprocating that knowledge. Okay, and we go on here in chapter 6, Galatians, as we read on, okay, concerning those which are ensnared, okay, particularly by the moral code and that law. Okay, so where the faith grows dim, then covetousness, okay, begins to take over. Okay, now we know that the door to the soul is the imagination. Okay, that the imagination is what Satan uses to the door of the soul, okay, as a door to the soul. Okay, and our conscience, if it's not filled with faith, okay, is exploited by Satan. Okay, as he takes advantage of these things. Okay, whatever situation or circumstances we're facing, okay, the adversary wants to emphasize the carnal things. In other words, if we can resolve the circumstances, okay, then God will be pleased with our faith. Whereas the opposite is true. You walk in faith and God will handle the circumstances. Okay, because his judgments, okay, are issued according to your choices. If we choose faith, then his judgments towards us is in peace. Okay, but if we choose the moral code, then his judgments toward us, okay, which we will not understand, will confound us. Okay, and it's not going to be in our favor. But we know the compassion of the Lord, okay, that the Lord even does grant deliverances to those who are not of faith. That's the compassion of the Lord. Okay, but we are the vessels of mercy, okay, wherein he is involved with our lives, okay, as we continue to walk uprightly, okay, as those that are illuminated, or walking uprightly as those that are risen from the dead, okay, walking in newness of life. Okay, in chapter 6, okay, we continue on here. Okay, and for if a man, I'm in verse 3 here, for a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay, and this is in references concerning, okay, if a man thinks himself something is concerning a fruit bearer. Okay, a fruit bearer there. People begin to evaluate themselves, okay, in the light of the moral code of how they're assessing, okay, or they're honoring the pursuit unto holiness. Okay, and by this, Paul was saying, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay, so another way of saying this, if a man think himself to be something as in fruit bearing, okay, when he has nothing in reality of that virtue, then he deceives himself because he projects a false piety, okay, a false piety or hypocrisy. Okay, when God issues grace, okay, but we resist grace, okay, so grace minus faith equals rebellion in the sinner, as faith apart from grace brings on the hypocrite. Okay, when we live by intuitive faith, okay, we are trying to project, okay, a path wherein we can please God, okay, out of the aspiration of our own heart. Okay, but if we walk by revelatory faith, the revelation of faith, which is that grace, okay, then we're no longer in searching, okay, of how to walk and please God when we are in reality participating in that, meeting the standard of his oath, his righteousness, okay, and freeing ourselves from the condemnation of that law, being fully justified. In verse 4, he goes on here, let every man prove his own work. Okay, and the proving has to do with one's discernment, okay, and the value of it. Okay, and of course, the Apostle Paul says the same thing in Galatians chapter 3, okay, where it should be tried by fire. Okay, and if any man's work abide, he should receive a reward. Okay, now the abiding work, or the sustaining work, okay, is that which is of faith. Okay, but if any man's work is consumed, then he shall suffer loss. Okay, that's the work of that moral code. Okay, the activity of the moral code are those things which are not accompanied with faith, okay, are merely consumed in the ashes. Okay, but that which abides the flame, which is as the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Okay, so as the Apostle Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, okay, he's saying the same thing as the word proving here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. So let every man prove his own work. Okay, that is the priesthood. Is it gold or is it wood? Okay, does a value remain? Okay, and is it sustained by the Spirit or is it consumed by the fire? Okay, now a dysfunctional priesthood, okay, is a sin, but a sin not unto death. Okay, so a functional priesthood, okay, continues to issue forth and disperse your charity. Okay, because through charity, as he begins, and we read last time, okay, the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 22, is love. Okay, because love is a distributing factor of all these other virtues. Okay, and this, of course, and through this distribution, okay, then temperance is birth, okay, as the Spirit brings power and equity to all the appetites, which the law cannot do. Okay, the law of Moses only addresses the frailty of man. The law of Christ addresses our faith. Okay, when we mix these two covenants together, okay, then we get, say, a polluted gospel or a perverted gospel, as Paul calls it. Okay, if it's a perverted gospel, then the elements will be missing. Okay, if one of the elements is missing, it's like a spoke missing, okay, on your wheels. Okay, if a spoke is missing on, you know, on the rim of your wheels there, okay, it will cause what would cause tire damage. Okay, so if a man think himself to be something, chapter 6, verse 3, when he is nothing as concerning that virtue, then he deceives himself because he's projecting a false piety. Okay, but let every man prove his own work, the priesthood, let it be gold, of course, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone as that reward, because he's building and not in another, because we're not seeking for others for the confirmation, okay, for our faulty piety. Now you noticed, okay, that those which are not embracing Christ, but embracing a false gospel, are continually looking for affirmation and confirmation through the piety of others, or faulty piety. Okay, whereas instead of seeking that which is from the Lord, okay, then Adamites begin to compare each other among themselves. And Paul said that he which compares himself among themselves are not wise. Okay, true wisdom is that which is of the Spirit. Okay, and you stand in that grace. Okay, when you stand in the grace, now you have strong consolation in Christ. Okay, but if you stand within the confirmation or affirmation of others because of faulty piety, okay, then your confidence will be removed, okay, at the first shifting, okay, or confrontation of truth. Now every man shall bear his own burden, says there in chapter 6, verse 5. Because we're all responsible as concerning bringing our sacrifices to the altar. For every man shall bear his own burden. Okay? Or everyone is responsible, okay, with the yoke of sacrifices in their own priesthood. Okay, in verse 6, let him that is taught and instructed. Now we're going to see something interesting here as we see the reciprocation of this knowledge. Okay, and this is why Paul ends his letter, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Okay, because this knowledge, being sanctified by the Spirit, okay, is empowered and carried by the Spirit, okay, as okay, as the virtue, okay, departed from Jesus and entered that woman for healing. Okay, the knowledge which he spoke, okay, the knowledge which he spoke is empowered, okay, and it brings enlightenment, equity, healing, peace. So let him that is taught in the word, okay, which is being instructed in the holy knowledge, and now you see the word communicate. So you might want to highlight the word communicate there, or write over the word communicate as to reciprocate, communicate, reciprocation. So let him that is taught in the word this holy knowledge communicate unto him that it teaches in all good things. Now this is what we do here. By this instruction of this holy knowledge, our communication is that of the Spirit. Okay, so we are standing in his grace, as he said at the very end, verse 18, "Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." So let him that is taught in the word this holy knowledge communicate as to reciprocate unto him, okay, as a priest is to the altar, unto him that teaches and sets order in your function with the tools of faith. Okay, and this brings equity. So let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. In verse 7, the Apostle Paul brings in a precaution here as concerning those whose reciprocations is not with faith. Okay, but be not deceived, as concerning the separation to false knowledge. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, as you cannot challenge God by your logic. Your logic will not stand to faith. So don't be deceived to separate yourself to false knowledge or to stand with self-determination, owning one's own logic. Okay? Because those which are the moral code want to stand against the things of the Spirit, as Paul brings out. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And here he says that the natural man is the one that is under the influence of another perception of Christianity. Okay? Trying to bring about the fullness of Christ through those things which are in part, the percentages of that law. Everything of the law of Moses was offered in percentages, okay? Even as God issued a portion of himself and all his creation, as the eight great princes, okay, about his throne, he put a portion of himself in every one of them, okay? And as all the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the ophanim, the thrones, okay, the Illyrium, the ministering spirits, okay, the angels of fire, okay, everything that he creates has a portion of himself in it, okay, even as the law teaches us, okay, according to those things which Moses was instructed in. Everything that Moses constructed, okay, was a portion of God himself, so that when God himself walked into the courts of the temple, it'd be like walking in a room of mirrors. He would see a reflection of himself and everything that was constructed. When Jesus walked in the porch, okay, or stood in the treasury and taught the holy knowledge of God, okay, he would see, he would look to one end and see the bath, the other end he would see the altar, okay, and you also see, you behold the curtains into the holy place and in the most holy place. Okay, all these things were a portion of himself. He was received, and here he was, the fullness of all things was standing in the court, okay, the court of portions. Now, a person that's deceived is still trying to offer unto God the portions where Christ has already came. Okay, the Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Okay, the lamb, okay, that Passover lamb was only in portions. It was cut up, okay, and offered, and its blood was put upon the lintel two side posts. Okay, which represents the point of entry will be by my blood. Okay, and by the blood that Jesus shed, okay, is a port of entry. Okay, a port of entry. Now, a priest always stood at the port of entry to examine all sacrifices that we brought to the altar to offer for one's sins. If there was any evil favorness or any kind of, disease on the animal, okay, if it had anything that was missing, an ear, okay, or a blemish in any form, it was not acceptable to the Lord. Okay. But Christ was acceptable to God, as he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, saying that all things were completed and all things were fulfilled, okay, and that and all things that were prophesied concerning him at this time, okay, have been brought to completion in the true Lamb of God. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. Okay, that he was received of his Father for our salvation. So he provided a pattern, okay, which was a reflection of Abraham, which has to do with grace, faith, righteousness, and a seal, and he set a record in himself in covenant for us to abide by today. The things of the Spirit. This is the order of Melchizedek. Okay, the order of Melchizedek does not resource any other law other than that which is at the throne of God. So be not deceived. If we're resourcing outside of this covenant, that is the second covenant, okay, then we are blaspheming, okay, or we are bringing polluted sacrifices. Okay, so be not deceived. God is not mocked or even challenged by your logic with that law. For whatsoever man does or sows, and it has to do with good or evil, for whatsoever man sows and your sacrifices, that shall he also reap. He will also reap in equity and of understanding. Okay, or reap in ignorance. If you sow to the Spirit, then you reap everlasting life. Right? When you sow to the Spirit, then you're gaining experience with God. Through this form of engagement or form of contact, which you have with these tools, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, government, as the appointed and sanctified stewardship, truth, that which he sanctifies and sets boundaries for our expressions, and spirit, which sanctifies our activity. If any of these are lost within our activity, then our sacrifices are considered as blemished. If we add anything to our sacrifices for the approval of God, that's called evil favoredness. Mostly when we want to contribute to God the things which we highly esteem, something that's close to ourselves, as our own talents, as our own talents or our own prosperity or lack of it, whatever it is, if we offer to him anything of the moral code itself is blemished, because of death. It's blemished because death was added with the law. And when this was added, anything in the moral code from that point on was considered as substandard. It did not meet quality control of the kingdom of God. It was rejected and put in the recycle bin, until the time of fullness. So when you offer to God your person, then it's evil favorness. If you offer to God his Christ, now it's acceptable to God. So those are the good things, which he's talking about right here. So we want to offer those things which sow to life, and not those things which sow to death. The sowing of death is the moral code. The sowing of life is faith. When faith abides upon your conscience, then the house of your soul is full of light. But if the imagination replaces faith, and imagination is that stands at the door of your conscience, which is only an invitation, like a note on a door, enter in at your, enter in at your own cost. Satan will enter in, and therefore your whole body or the house of your soul will be full of darkness. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So you want to sow to the good things, that which is of faith, that which is of the Spirit, not of the letter. And that shall he also reap. So you're going to reap an equity of understanding. And not in ignorance. But when evil favorness is offered unto God with one sincerity, and sincerity doesn't validate faith, a person that's sincere, religiously sincere, does not validate one's religion as being truth. Because we have many religions of this world which want to validate their performances, their religious performances and sacraments, whatever they may be, as being of truth because it's based on our sincerity. But that's not accepted of God. That would be evil favoredness. So God is saying, you're trying to present yourself before me equal to my Christ, based upon your own moral code or based upon your own achievement of life. Now, these are works of debt. And so if you sow to the things of debt, then you're not allowing Christ to take root within you. As Paul brings out in Hebrews, for the ground which received the rain which comes oft upon it, brings forth the labors or the herbs of those which sow in that field. And when it brings forth herbs, it brings forth a blessing. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So we can see that there's two types of sowing. That which is of the Spirit must remain within the heart, so that takes root downward and bears forth fruit upward. Because the fruit that you bear is the adornment of this faith. As the apples or the pears or the oranges of the tree adorn the tree. When it adorns a tree, it brings equity of its labor, the equity of its labor. And then the person that has pruned and nourished that tree rejoices for the equity of the eye, that his labor is not in vain. But if that tree refuses to capitulate, okay, concerning his labors, okay, then it's nigh unto cursing, and whose end is to be burned, used for firewood. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Okay, verse 8, see, the Apostle Paul affirms these things, for he that sows to his flesh, okay, which is the moral code in the issues of this life, shall of the flesh reap corruption. Okay, those powers with birth, which birth death. So the word reap is a form of birthing. Okay, if you sow to the flesh, then your birthing is going to be in those things of inequity, okay, which Paul brings out in a previous chapter. Okay, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, chapter 5, verse 19. Okay, now, but he that sows to the Spirit, okay, which is also chapter 5, verse 22. Okay, he's repeating himself here, but he's bringing our thinking a little further, okay, as concerning the subject. So he that sows to his flesh, which has to do with that, and one that's trying to gain clarity, or trying to intrude in the mysteries of Christ, or trying to find the value of life, okay, through the moral code, they will be consumed with these things, because all he's going to do, okay, is birth envies and murders and drunkenness and revelings, okay, and strife and all these other things, lasciviousness. Okay, that these things, okay, that this iniquity would then be the distributing factor of all these other virtues of darkness, and you don't want that. Okay, that's the very thing you want circumcised from the heart, and the Lord will do that. So he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh, that means of those powers, reap and birth corruption, which is death. Death accompanies the works of the flesh. For the end of those works is death. The end of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Death is a word which God assigned to a spirit that frustrates, the progression of the God code. Okay, death is a spirit. Okay, and God assigned a title to that spirit called death, which is to frustrate the outcome of the God code, so that all things that are joined to the God code, apart from the kingdom of God, okay, will loop the individual in the works of death, and confusion, and disappointment in the end. Okay, but he that sows to the Spirit, okay, that means to labor in this priesthood now, okay, will birth the things of the Spirit, the invisible and divine substance, okay, of his kingdom. Now, it's only invisible to our carnal eye, okay, but not to the spiritual eye. Okay, because to the spiritual eye, the fruits of that kingdom begin to manifest, okay, and it manifests within your consistency and your communication, okay, as we talk about the three C's. Conformity, consistency, and that communication of the kingdom of light. And that's what Jesus said when he came on the scene, when he began his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was speaking of himself, that he is the door and the key, to an invisible kingdom. That all those that would enter in by him, would see the reality of life. The reality of life is the things of the Spirit. Not the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Because everything that is seen is temporal, as the Apostle Paul emphasizes here in Corinthians. For that which is seen is temporal, but that which is not seen is eternal. Now we work with the eternal things, the things that are not seen. Because these are the things which we're reaping within us. We're birthing and reaping. The cycles of your life continue, and our joy is full, as you continue on with faith and patience. Faith and patience has to do with that. You're showing a consistency to the time of the until that which the Spirit is reveals to you is fulfilled. Okay. But he that sows to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Okay, because you're beholding him in all things. Okay. You see, there's a fruit that's birthed in you, and it takes on the image of that virtue, the power. So as a fruit unto virtue, as much as an apple ripening on a tree. An apple goes through different phases until it comes to the time of its harvesting. Okay, as a pear or an orange, okay, or banana or anything, okay, or grapes. Okay, it goes through certain cycles to perfection. Okay, so the fruit of it has to do with the birthing. Okay, the birthing. If you want these virtues to be birthed within you, then you have to nurture what God has given to you so that these things become a reality and you adorn the gospel of Christ. Okay, as your oath is joined to the oath of the Lord. The oath of the Lord, okay, orders our behavior, right, and circumcises, okay, our perceptions of life. The only way that your oath can be joined to the oath of the Lord is through the bonding glue of faith. Okay, faith joins your oath to His. Okay, as the scriptures declare in themselves, as your heart is mine, as the scriptures declare. Okay, meaning, are we seeing eye to eye, heart to heart, oath to oath? Okay, so that by us joining our oath to God's, okay, He is now ordering our behavior, setting the pattern, okay, for our perception, for our circumcision, for our cycles of growth. Okay, so we're no longer beholding the things according to the window of our own signature. We're now beholding the things through the window of the oath of the Lord, the throne of the Lord, His perception. Now we have eyes of fire, okay, as we behold these things. Now we see in the book of Revelation, when Jesus appeared to the Apostle John, He didn't appear to John, okay, for the purpose of family reunion. Okay, He didn't come in the form of the flesh, okay, and embrace John, pat him on the back, sit down, and reminisce about the good old days of the ministry. When Jesus appeared to the Apostle John, this is after His ascension, okay, He appeared to him in a vision, in a vision of visions, okay, and appearing to him, He appeared to him as who He truly was, the Redeemer. And His appearance was no longer, dressed in simple Galilean, okay, in a simple Galilean fashion or style, okay, but His garments were glistening and white, as His hair was glistening as white, and His eyes were as flames of fire, as His feet also. Even His words of His mouth, okay, when they issued forth, were as fire that came out of His mouth. Okay, and His paps are girt about with a golden girdle, okay, which also has a representation, okay, as that heart of gold, okay, an overcomer, one that's full of faith. Okay, His appearance to John, okay, is also the way He addresses us. You see, not as a good old lost friend, okay, but as a servant, okay, and a friend of the Most High God. Okay, that he does address us in that manner, okay, but not as in a form of reminiscing. Okay, He addresses us in that form of faith. Everything He said to John in the book of Revelation, none of it reminiscent in the time says, "Oh Lord, remember that time when I laid in your bosom there at the Last Supper? Wasn't that cool?" Okay, or "Remember that time, Lord, when in the foot washings, okay, when I laughed as you were tickling my feet." Okay, of course that's not, you won't find that in the Bible, but I'm just giving an example. Okay, that the Apostle John and Jesus did not reminisce the good old days of the flesh. Okay, no, He was telling him as concerning his responsibilities, okay, and how to continue to, okay, reap the things of the Spirit, to birth life in the hearts of the saints, okay, and also to improve his stewardship, his own stewardship. So the revelation he received for the churches became a template, okay, for all the other epistles to be written on. And we can see this in the writings of the Apostle Paul, particularly, okay, that he drew upon these revelations. Okay, well, let's go to verse 9 here. Okay, in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, what would weary the will? Well, false knowledge will weary the will because it robbed the heart of faith. False knowledge wearies the will. So let us not be weary in well-doing. Okay, which has to do with the well-doing, spiritual things. Okay, because the Spirit empowers the things of the Spirit, and he that is spiritual is able to discern these things, as the Apostle Paul said. He that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. Now, as you continue to judge these spiritual things, that is to place them in the proper order and discernment, okay, you're also going to increase in the deep things of the Lord. Okay, because the Spirit will continue to lead you on to greater and more experiences. This is what the church wants, and this is what God desires for her to have. Okay, but He's not going to sanctify false knowledge. Okay, He will not sanctify the doctrine of Nicolaitans. What he said of the doctrine of Nicolaitans, he said, "I hate it." Okay, and this is the God of love. And he says, which things I hate. He brought out in the book of Revelation there, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, okay, or the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Okay, and that was to the church of Pergamos. Okay, and also Ephesus. Now, verse 9, so let us not be weary in well-doing. See, our calling to this priesthood, okay, does not require sweat. Okay, and this was symbolized in the garments that the priests and the Levites wore of that first covenant. They are to wear garments of linen upon their loins, so as to produce no sweat, which was symbolic of the work of the Spirit, that the Spirit does not labor with one's aspirations. Okay, so but when you labor with your aspiration, that would produce sweat. You're wearing a wool garment, and not a cotton garment. Okay, you're not allowed to mix these two kind of fabrics together, which shows again the aspiration of man mingled with faith. Okay. Of course, the aspiration will spoil your faith, so you really can't mingle those two together. It's like oil and water. Okay. You can't even drink it, and it's not even good for your car. So let us not be weary in well-doing, okay, concerning these spiritual things, these holy things, okay, which Jesus sanctified with his blood now, not the blood of an animal, which is on those partial things. Okay, the show of the beastly nature of man must be removed and slaughtered, okay, in order for man to see the true light of God and the face of the Lord. For in due season, he says, which I brought out earlier, the joy, for in due season we shall reap and birth, okay, birth these things if we faint not. Don't faint in your patience. Patience is a mighty weapon, okay, and as another said, patience is a mighty charm. In the Testament of Joseph, it's a mighty charm, okay, because it brings about and births a character within you, okay, that brings that consistency, a whole new perception, a whole new behavior, okay, which before you were endeavoring to take on the attributes of that kind of behavior, okay, but you couldn't find the power or the empowerment to do that, and there won't be an empowerment in the law, okay, because the law makes promises. Okay, but only according to that law. Okay, we're not following the promises of law. We're following the promises of Christ. Okay, if we faint not, so don't grow weak in your patience. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises, which we can see in the life of Abraham. Okay, he had to wait 25 years to have an heir that would be of Sarah, that is of his own loins with Sarah. He had to wait 25 years for that. Okay, and with patience, he received that joy. And not only that, okay, his perception was changed. His eyes were circumcised. As he stood on the top of the hill, his eyes were circumcised. Okay, and that's when God says, look up into the sky. Now, if you can tell the number of the stars, so shall your seed be, Abraham. Okay, and so here the Lord, the Spirit is already revealing, okay, there's going to be, okay, two groupings, okay, that of the flesh and that of the Spirit. Okay, when he talks about as the sand upon a seashore innumerable, as the stars and as the stars of the heaven for multitudes. Okay, talking about the two groupings, the flesh and the spirit, and these of course would be united together, okay, as we see in a holy city. Now let's go on to verse 10 here. So having not fainted, okay, in our patience, you know, as we have therefore opportunity, okay, as the Spirit provides it for you. Let us do good unto all, that be all saints. Okay, all saints, particularly, especially those who are the household of faith. Okay. Doing good, seeing that through these things we are building his house. The opportunity is to build. The opportunity is not to pluck down. Nay, as the writer of Proverbs brings out, okay, a fool plucks down plucks his own house down with his own hands. Okay, but the righteous, they build a house. Okay, we see also in Proverbs that wisdom builds a house, but the fool plucks it down with his hands. Okay, those which refuse to build the house of God, okay, are withholding seed from him. Okay, but as Jesus said, he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Okay, referring to the building. Okay, if you were to build with me, you must be gathered unto me, okay, as a hen would gather her brood. Okay, but those which refuse will be given to, okay, the chicken hawk, okay, or to the fox, who will easily devour the chickens, the chickens. Okay, who are the household of faith? He says here in verse 11. You see how large a letter, and of course, all the word letter there, I put the word book, okay, because these letters of the Apostle Paul were compiled in one book. Okay, so he's not talking about the size of the printing. He's talking about the as concerning the combination, putting them all together. The combination. He put all these letters together into a book. Okay, and of course he had the financial assistance to do that, and he had the scribes, you know, and the parchment, and all these things available to do this. So his letters were widely circulated, and they were put together in one form, one book. Okay, it's concerning the Galatians, Colossians, the Philippians, Laodiceans. Okay, the Philippians. Okay, these are all compiled in one book, so that they got to read the letters to the other saints, and they learned by that. Okay, so when he says here, you see how large a letter I wrote into, he's meaning the book, not the print size. Okay, it had nothing to do with his eyesight, as some would want to declare that. Okay, they pulled that one. That was an original pull from somebody's imagination. Okay, but he's talking about the size of the book, okay, the compiling of all these letters together. So you see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand, okay, addressing every city and the elders of the city. Okay, and as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, okay, or to pursue the aspirations for that flattery, okay, as Diotrephes did with John, and also as Demas did with Paul, okay, as to make a fair show of the flesh, okay, as to stand forth to compete, okay, rather than to build, they're competing. Okay, the competitors are not builders, they're just competing. Okay, so as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, we brought out earlier, okay, he that sows to the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, okay, or to tithing. Today we use tithing. Today circumcision is not really an issue that's on the ballot, okay. That's everybody just, well, they'll do what the physician usually says on that, okay, whether to or not. But tithing is still an issue on the ballot, okay, as concerning one should tithe or not, okay. But if you have confidence in these physical things, okay, then you're making a fair show in the flesh. Okay? I mean, you're using the carnal things, okay, as to express your piety through, which is false piety, faulty piety. Okay, because the power of God is not founded in that nor through that. Okay? Charity is not born through the flesh. Charity is born through the Spirit. Okay, they constrain to be circumcised, okay, only lest they should suffer persecution. That means the confirmation of those things is the second covenant. Okay, when an individual abandons those things of the flesh, okay, concerning the law of Moses, they're looked upon as being out of step, okay, with true Christianity. But Christianity is not in fulfillment of Moses, it's in the fulfillment of Christ. Okay, because Jesus fulfilled all things of the law and the prophets and himself. Okay, so when we embrace the things of the Spirit, the carnal-minded, okay, want to assess your form of religion, okay, as not being applicable, nor does this express the aspirations which you're trying to read into. Okay, one religion tries to read into the aspirations of another religion, or one denomination tries to read in the aspirations of the other denomination, right, setting the stones of one precept, comparing one precept in stone to another precept in stone. Okay, and with that, okay, they compare one building to the other building, okay, you know, and adorning it, okay, with all kinds of philosophy, okay, the jewels and gold and silver, gold, silver, and precious jewels of their own philosophies, okay, which in reality is just nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble, things to be burned. Okay, so they that would express these things, okay, for the confirmation, the moral code, okay, they're doing this for the purpose of avoiding, okay, or you say making distinction. We make distinction by truth. Truth automatically brings that distinction. Only thus they should suffer persecution and the confirmation for the cross of Christ. Now, underline the word cross there. Okay, when he says the word cross, he's not emphasizing the matter as concerning wood and what kind of wood it was. What kind of wood was that? Was it hickory? Okay, or was it fig wood, or was it acacia wood, or was it pine, or was it wood that was brought in from some distant land. Okay, somebody talks about the word cross right here, and there has been a lot of issues and splits in churches as concerning the type of wood and the order it was put together. Okay, you have different kinds of crosses. Okay, so the word cross right here, when he's talking about cross, he's not talking about a wood frame. He's talking about covenant. Okay, the covenant. Okay, and that which purchased the covenant. Okay, it wouldn't matter if Jesus died on a straight stake. Okay, a post up and down. Okay, or one that was or an X or a Y or a Z. Okay, the idea was that it was a shedding of the blood. Okay, for covenant. Okay, to remove the power of sin in the flesh, so that now we can walk uprightly, no longer resourcing those things which death accompanied, but now we're only resourcing things which life abides in. Okay, for the cross of Christ. Okay, so we're putting to death the moral code. So putting to death the moral code is only to serve Him. Okay, in the spirit and not in the flesh. Okay, verse 13 here. For neither they themselves who are circumcised, that means those that follow the flesh. Now he's not talking about circumcised in the heart by faith. He's talking about those, okay, which are making a fair show in the flesh. Okay, their Christianity is emphasized, okay, issues, relationships, okay, things of this world, that of Moses' covenant. Okay, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, okay, or the function as Moses determined, because God set standards within the law which would be impossible to meet. Okay, and even the Apostle Peter confessed to that, and we see in the book of Acts, okay, which none of our fathers could keep. Okay, now Peter professing to that, okay, is giving us some insight as concerning the frailties of the law. Okay, for neither they themselves who are circumcised, verse 13, keep the law. But, okay, in order to rejoice in you, okay, or to affirm, okay, their particular philosophy, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Okay, they're building philosophically here with carnal things. Okay, so they feel that they're confirming God, okay, through the law, but you're not. They're confirming the other covenant, which is death. All right. But this is part of Satan's strongholds, the things of that kingdom, the things of this world. Seeing that when I say the things of this world, it was with carnal things that Adam transgressed against God, and it's with carnal things today that the church, okay, stands with dimness of sight concerning the will of God, with carnal things, the same thing. The same temptation that was presented to Adam for a shortcut to the glory of God, it's the same thing that Satan has offered to the church today. He just took it from the vine, you know, to the law. Right? The law is now the vine, okay, of temptation for the church. Okay, and as long as they're partaking of that fruit, okay, the fruit of that wrong vine, that's why Jesus referred to himself as being the true vine. Because referring to himself to be the true vine, he's making comparison between the vine that was cursed of God. God cursed that vine and he told Adam, "You shall not touch or eat this fruit. Don't even eat it. Don't come near it." Okay, because Satan planted this tree here. Okay, and I cursed it. Okay, when God cursed it, he set a law on that. Okay, that if we were to touch and to consume this, we would be in violation of God's wishes. We'd be stepping outside of the tethering of his oath. Okay, and we'd be listening to another tethering and tutorage. Okay, which Adam did. And he listened to another tethering and tutorage. Okay, another form of inspiration, which packaged this knowledge, okay, with a whole different kingdom in mind, okay, the kingdom of death. With that knowledge came death, and that's why Jesus gave us new knowledge. Okay, but that by his knowledge we be born again, okay, of the Spirit, as Peter brings out. Okay, but God forbid that I should glory, and he says in verse 14, that is, in any other thing, except that means the glory is to bring forth, to perfect, to build. Okay, to perpetuate. Okay, you're continuing on. So he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. There's the word cross again. Okay, as he says there in verse 12. So over the word cross, you could put second covenant, or 2C. Okay, the number 2 and the letter C. Okay, which has to do with second covenant. Okay, I'm glorying in the cross. Again, he's not setting all kinds of emblems of the cross around his house. Okay, but the true cross has to do with that of covenant. Okay, terms of agreement for expression and for faith. Okay? So that's why we express faith and charity. Okay, because faith and charity, okay, faith is that initiator. Okay, reciprocation and charity, of course, is that form of communication by which we love each other and love God. Okay, charity too is not a feeling; it's an expression of faith. Okay, it's the expression of this knowledge. Okay, not that it's absent, not that our souls are absent of feeling. Okay, but the expression of it and sacrifice, okay, is not accompanied with, our aspirations. Absent of it. All right. So as you go on here, but God forbid, verse 14, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says Lord Jesus Christ is because this is how, and the word Lord has to do with one that has dominion over. All right, if the righteousness is to have dominion over us, then we have to walk by the record which he provided in his flesh, and which Jesus Christ provided for us. That's what it says in verse 14. Okay. If sin is to have dominion, then Satan is the king. If righteousness is to have dominion, then Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the king. Okay, you can't serve two masters. Okay, for we either embrace the one and abhor the other, okay, or else we, you know, again, submit to the one and despise the other, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out. You can't serve two masters, okay, the flesh and the spirit. Okay, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world, so over the word world there, you could put the system of the moral code, is the support system of the moral code. Okay, see the word world there in verse 14? Okay, you might want to take your yellow highlighter if you wish, or pink, or orange, or blue. Highlight the word world, and write over that word, system that supports the moral code, or moral code system. The world, when he says the word world, he's not talking about planet Earth, but he is talking about a system that exists in this dimension, which Satan rules over. Okay, so he's talking about a system, a function, a certain like machinery, mechanics, okay, of a kingdom, okay, that rules the minds of sinners. Okay, so the world is a system which supports the moral code. Okay, and that's why Jesus said, remember the word that I said unto you. If they have persecuted me, they're also going to persecute you. Okay? If they have received my word, they receive yours also. Okay? But Jesus was bringing to their attention that the world will hate you. He's talking about the system. The system is contradictory to faith. Okay? And those which are building with that system, okay, will contradict faith, and you and my system will contradict that world system, another system, another kingdom. There will be no unity, okay, nor fellowship. The word fellowship has to do with exchange of substance. Okay, there's no exchanging of substance here, okay, between these two kingdoms, okay, because there is a kingdom of Belial and a kingdom of Christ, and there's no fellowship nor communion between them, as the Apostle Paul brings out in his other letters there. Okay, so the word world there in verse 14 has to do with a system, a support system. We have a support system called the kingdom of God. That kingdom and the mechanics of it, okay, which involves our priesthood, okay, continually supports our faith with knowledge and with rich gifts, the gifts which he has given provided for us in the area of dreams and visions, prophecy, okay, words of knowledge. Whatever gift God gives to us is a light, okay, that we are continually set for our feet to walk in. Okay, this gift of knowledge, okay, all these are the mechanics of the kingdom of God, okay, that we will not offend God, and with that light we will not stumble nor be confounded. Okay, so he says, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Okay, crucified is like being put out of action. Okay. It's like parking in the garage, okay, and not using it. crucified unto me and I unto the world. Again, that system and its powers. The system and its powers, okay, which works ruin in the soul. In verse 15, we're getting ready to close here. For in Christ Jesus, okay, being, again, in Christ Jesus has to do with the gold overlaying the wood. So we see the word Christ Jesus. Okay, Christ, okay, divine, Jesus, the flesh. Okay, okay, God came in the form of flesh, as Apostle Paul brings out there in Timothy. God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay, so for in Christ Jesus, okay, we overcome through this system. Okay, we overcome the flesh by the Spirit. For in Christ Jesus, in this new kingdom, there is no strange fire. No strange fire. Okay, when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire before the Lord, the fire that was sanctified consumed them. Okay. The strange fire consumed them. Okay, the fire of the Lord consumed them and offered strange fire. Now, strange fire is also another form of inspiration, seducing spirits. Okay, seducing spirits work with Adam's aspiration and with the moral code. Okay, but the fire of the Lord, okay, which is pure fire, okay, that which is sanctifying fire, okay, our sacrifices are now acceptable to God through Jesus Christ by the fire of his altar. Okay, the fire of his altar is where we offer our sacrifices on. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, okay, nor uncircumcision, because we're not using these tools. Okay, we're not using the circumcision of one kingdom or the uncircumcision of that same kingdom, but a new creature. He says here in verse 15. Okay, a new creature is that, okay, one that's born of the Spirit. Okay, one that's born of the Spirit. A new creature emerges through your communication and your communion, okay, with the Holy Ghost. A new creature emerges. You're learning a whole different language. Okay, just like if you're born in one country, you learn the language of that country because you're born into it. And then you have to take on the language of another country if you're to move there. Okay? So taking on that country, you're taking also an oath to that country, okay, that your behavior will be by those laws of that country. Okay, and our behavior is dictated to us by the oath of the Lord. And we're taking on a whole new form and culture. Okay? We have a whole new culture here. Okay, a new creature has to do with we are being set in a completely new environment, a whole new culture. Okay, and you have to learn the ropes of that new culture. Okay, just like you go to another country. Okay, as soon as you fly into a new country, okay, you go through your immigration there and all these other things. Okay, whatever it is that you have to, or through customs. Okay, and you have to observe the culture of the people. Okay, what side of the road you drive on, and what is that sign over there? It's all in another language. Okay, you're learning a new culture. It's the same thing in God's kingdom. When you're born into the kingdom of God, you're learning a new culture, a new language, a new lifestyle, a different behavior. You're no longer wild horses running across the plains or out there on the Champagne. Okay, you're no longer running out there wild. Okay, now you're in a corral. Okay, you're learning a new behavior of a better master. In verse 16, and as many walk according to this rule of this new culture and these laws of the Spirit, then peace will be on them. Okay, peace be on them. The angel of peace, okay, will accompany our faith, peace, mercy. There we got these elements again. Peace and mercy, God's involvement upon and upon the Israel of God. We are the true Israel. Those of faith are the true Israel. Okay, not those born of the flesh are the true Israel. It's those that are born of the Spirit are the true Israel of God. Those that are circumcised in the heart, not in the flesh, bear the marks or the true fruit of Christ. Verse 17, as we wind up here, from henceforth let no man trouble me, or to challenge this pattern. Why? For I bear in my body. Okay, because I'm carrying a new life in me, he says. I'm bearing in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. His likeness, not Satan's now, his likeness I bear in my body. These marks, the image of the Spirit, not the image of the flesh. Okay, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, is being formed within me. Okay, and now, last verse here, verse 18, he says, brethren, okay, all those that have embraced this knowledge is now beneficial for the sacrifices of your priesthood. And the Spirit of the Lord will accompany this and give life to the soul and light to the eyes, okay, of your understanding. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.